So our series on regifting, we focused on Ephesians chapter 4, verse 11. What's been called the fivefold gifts or ministries for the church. These ones in particular are very foundational. They're all about building the church. We're going to go in next in the future towards Romans and 1 Corinthians and some of those gifts that operate within a church, operate within the built-up church, the prophetic, the tongues, those types of things. But Paul shares these as some of the building gifts, the foundational gifts that build and help a church, help maintain the body of Christ. Of course, we're not talking about a building here. We're talking about us, the community, the body of Christ. These gifts need to be in operation for us to be strong, for us to grow and to be mature. And I'll talk about that a little bit later on. And I like how Pastor Jim has been doing it, you know, allowing us to share our areas of gifting. And we want to help you identify your areas of gifting, where the Holy Spirit has placed gifts in your life to build up his church. And so when Pastor Jim said in staff meeting, yeah, we're going to do this series, I said, can I do teaching? I don't usually ask. I don't usually like go after a particular one. But I said, Pastor Jim, I want to do teaching because I really like teaching. I really like to do it. I feel that I have that type of gifting in my life, that type of calling. And as Pastor Jim said, you know, he's a pastor. And if he shared on all the gifts, you would be getting a pastor's perspective on teaching and apostles and prophets and all that type of thing. So I really appreciate the opportunity to share a teacher's perspective on teaching. I'm excited about that because we need all the gifts working together for a healthy, growing church. And so I want to share with you a little bit about teaching. So first we want to look at the profile of a teacher. What are some of the characteristics? What are some of the tendencies of a person who might have this teaching gift? I want to help you identify what might some of your tendencies be. Maybe you'll hear these and you'll say, nope, that's not me at all. But maybe some of you are here today and you'll hear these and you'll think, hey, that's actually the way I respond. That's actually the way I think. This is interesting. Maybe there's something there. So we want to look at the profile of a teacher. Now, I'm going to give you three things. I always like speaking in threes. I don't know why. It's just what I learned in Bible college, and it never left me. But we have three kind of key areas here for the profile of a teacher. Now, this isn't exhaustive, so this isn't all that, you know, would suggest that you have a teaching gift. Maybe there's other things that come up to you, but three main areas that I want to share, some common tendencies or traits. And I do want to mention, especially with the pastor-teacher thing, sometimes gifts can overlap, and in fact, for pastors often are required to teach. Pastor Jim teaches us very well when he speaks. He would consider himself a pastor, but he also teaches. I consider myself more of a teacher, but I also pastor. I also care for the youth and the young adults, right? So sometimes these gifts are required to overlap. Sometimes people have tendencies towards more than one. So I just want to put that out there. There are some who would interpret this pastor-teacher as being combined. There are some who would say it's separate. I would say, and I read this, so I'm not taking credit for this, but I liked how this was said. They said, not all pastors are teachers, and not all teachers are pastors, but sometimes they can be combined, right? They can be both. And some pastors can be prophetic, and some apostles can be teachers, all those types of things. Does that make sense? So there is some overlap sometimes, and you'll see that in the church and pastoral ministry, but today we're going to focus on the gift specifically of the teacher or of teaching. So profile of a teacher. First thing, teachers are passionate about truth. They are passionate about the truth. Now, just for the record, as we go on here, I am specifically speaking of a spiritual gift for teaching in the church and teaching the Bible. I think some of these things do apply to teachers who teach chemistry or math or those types of things. I think if you love to teach, you just love to teach. It doesn't really matter. But we are focused, the spiritual gift of teaching is for teaching God's word, for teaching spiritual things to the church. So just keep that in mind. So you're passionate about truth. Teachers don't often take things at face value. This is, I think, is a good thing, but it can often annoy pastors, right? Sometimes pastors will speak and then they'll have people come up and say, well, what about this? And what about this? And they're like, I don't know. I just shared the message. But that's sort of the heart of the teacher is they want to dig deeper. They want to get deeper into the truth. They like to know the nuts and bolts. They like to ask the big why question. It's like they never stop being 5 years old, right? Well, why? Why? Because. Why? You know, they want to dig more. They want to know more. When they hear an idea, this happens to me all the time. I'll be honest, most of the time it happens with history. I'll be watching a TV show or reading a book, and something will come up about a historical event that I'm not familiar with, and I'll want to know more, you know, and I'll be on Wikipedia, or I'll jump online, or I'll find a book. You know, they want to know more when they hear an idea, when they hear things come up. So they're passionate about truth. Second thing is they're passionate about the Bible. As I mentioned, the teaching gift, the spiritual gift, is foundationally about a love for God's word. And so those with that type of gift are passionate about the Bible. And maybe you've been there and you've been talking to your friends and they're all sharing how hard it is to read their Bibles, and many of us experience that. You know, some people get sleepy or some people just have a hard time making time, but and you said, you know, well, I actually really enjoy reading my Bible. I read it all the time, you know. Sometimes that maybe identifies that you have that passion for God's word. You have that passion for you know, that teaching gift. I believe we all should be reading God's word, don't get me wrong. But often teachers have an easier time or more of a tendency to really get in to God's word. And when they read God's word, they want to read between the lines. They don't just take the word at face value, and that doesn't mean doubting it in the sense that we don't think it's from God or anything, but it means wanting to know what's behind the words, right? Wanting to know the history, wanting to know the context, wanting to know why that particular prophet or that particular person would say that, or why Jesus said this, or those types of things. They want to get in behind the words, asking deeper questions, wanting to know more. And often you can be detail-oriented. So you will pick up on details that you read in Scripture that maybe other people have missed. That's an indication that maybe there's that heart for God's word, there's that heart to teach. But it has to be combined with this third one. So you're passionate about truth, passionate about the Bible, and passionate about communicating. And this is where it all comes together for those who have that gift, is that you can't wait to share what you've learned. You maybe think of ways to share or to present the Bible that are unique or that are interesting or that are new. So when you've been digging and you've been looking at Scripture and you've been learning, you almost just are like, I got to share this with somebody. And you think about ways to present it. You think about ways to organize the information. You think about how to take big ideas and make them understandable, make them digestible. It's one of my favorite things to do. I love doing that in our youth ministry. Taking these big scriptural ideas, taking these big ideas about God and making them digestible to different levels of understanding, different ages, that type of thing. There's a passion there for communicating truth. And I would suggest that maybe you're someone who doesn't have an audience right now. Maybe you don't teach in any capacity in the church, but you find yourself wanting to just share what you've learned in the Bible or organizing or even writing and those types of things. That might suggest that there's a gift there that God wants to open up. So you're passionate about these three things. Truth, the Bible, and communicating. Those are really helpful identifiers for this teaching gift. But each gift comes with a responsibility, right? Every gift that God gives us comes with a responsibility to use it, to share it. And the teaching gift comes with a pretty serious responsibility. In the book of James, chapter 3, James shares this. I love this verse. Not many of you should become, or some translations say, should presume to be teachers, my fellow believers, because you know that we who teach will be judged more strictly. Hooray! I love that. Yeah. But what he's saying is that there is a very serious responsibility that comes with a teaching opportunity, that comes with the gift, and especially comes with the position or the opportunity to teach. And I like to look at it more as God's call on the teacher, because it's not necessarily a burden, but it is a very high calling to share this gift. And so I want to look at now, we identified three areas of passion. What are three areas of calling that God gives to the teacher? The first one is this. God calls us, and I believe he calls all of us for this. So those of you who maybe don't feel you have this gift, you're not off the hook, okay? But God calls the teacher to live it, to live what you teach, to walk the talk, all that type of thing. God calls the teacher to live it. You know, this James passage is talking about our character. It's talking about who we are on the inside, that our character teaches and our character preaches and our character speaks louder than our words. And if there's not a match between the character and the words, something's not right. Maybe you've heard the saying. I remember when I was in college, somebody brought this saying up to me because I had said, oh, maybe I want to be a teacher, or I'm not sure yet. I was in the pastoral training, but I was just trying to figure it out. And they said, well, what do you think about this saying? Those who can't do, teach. Anybody ever heard that? Yeah? Those who can't do, teach. False. At least in the church, we should not be teaching if we cannot live it. So we teach what we know, we teach what we've lived, we teach out of character. So maybe that's true in other areas, perhaps like rocket science, I don't know. But teaching Scripture, God calls us to live out what we're teaching. People watch a lot more than they listen, and those of you who have children or teenagers, you know that. I know that because I work with your teenagers. Teenagers and children, and all of us as adults too, we watch more than we listen. And so much of what we teach, if you have this teaching gift, is taught outside of the classroom, is taught through your life, and we're going to get into that a little bit more as well. So we need to live it. And Pastor Jim, I don't know if you shared this last week, I think you did, about the shepherds are also sheep, right? The pastor is also following Jesus. The shepherd is a sheep. And I would say the same is true of the teacher. The teacher needs to first be a student. You need to be a student if you want to be a teacher. You need to be a lifelong learner of God's word and of who he is in order to teach. So we need to live it. Second thing is this, we need to share it. What good is a teaching gift if you only ever teach your cat? I like to imagine that some of you just preach to your cat. My brother did that when we were about 8 years old. Cat got saved. It's good. Or at least he told us it did. Never filled out a card or anything, so. But we need to share it. We need to share what we've learned. What we believe and what we know is very important. I remember, again, learning in college, we had a great teacher. We had many great teachers, actually, but I remember one in particular who said, you know, we live what we believe. We act out what we believe. Belief leads to action. What does this mean? True belief leads to true action, but false belief might lead to false or wrong action. Perhaps some of you remember this. There was a movie a few years back. It won some awards. It was called Inception, where they go into a dream within a dream, and there's all these crazy things going on. But Leonardo DiCaprio, in that movie, it starts off with him saying, what's the most dangerous parasite? And the people around him say, I don't know. And he said, the most dangerous parasite is an idea. And I thought that was so interesting, you know, because ideas are so powerful, and they can motivate us to right action, they can motivate us to good, but false ideas can motivate us to wrong action. And so much of the Scripture, and so much especially of the New Testament, people get saved, they become a church. Paul maybe has preached in their village, and now they're a church, and they're following Jesus, but there's wrong teaching. There's false teaching, and people are beginning to miss what they're supposed to be living. They're beginning to go astray, and Paul writes and corrects the false teaching because people live what they believe. So the heart of a teacher is to share truth, to correct errors in a loving way, not a condemning way, but a loving way, and to share what I believe, I like to call sticky truth. Because I think truth is sticky. I think the good ideas, the things in the Bible can really stick when we find ways to share them in that way. Because we're not just about sharing dry facts or boring information. We're about sharing real, life-changing realities of who God is and what his word says. And so great teachers find ways to make the stories and to make the truths of the Bible stick. I want to share one. Actually, Pastor Tricia is an excellent teacher as well. And she shares this with her kids, and I've started sharing it with the youth as well. And it's such a sticky truth that I want to share with you today. She says, the Bible is God's word, God's words are true, and the truth sets you free. Isn't that so simple? And yet it's so true. It sticks. I've never forgotten it. Right? It's sticky. And so I believe that God calls the teacher to share those sticky truths. We're not just sharing information. We're taking big ideas. We're taking important things and making them digestible. We're not oversimplifying, mind you. And there's different levels. There's some levels where you can teach on a more complex way. And there's some level where you have to keep it very simple. But we're not oversimplifying, but we're taking big ideas and making them digestible so people can get them inside their hearts and live them out. And that's the third thing, that kind of third calling. We live it, we share it. I couldn't think of another it one, so we got teach for transformation. We teach for transformation. We need to aim higher than simply sharing facts. And I just said that, but it's true. We need to aim higher than simply sharing facts. We can model and we can instill in the people we teach a passion for God, a passion for his word, a hunger to know more. We teach people how to live as students of God's word. I want to turn to Titus. I can never find it in my Bible. There it is. Titus 2, verses 1 to 3. Paul is talking to this guy, Titus, who's pastoring on the island of Crete. And it's a very challenging situation. And he calls Titus to teach people how to live. You must teach what is appropriate to sound doctrine. Teach the older men to be temperate, worthy of respect, self-controlled, and sound in faith, in love and endurance. And likewise, teach the older women to be reverent in the way they live, not to be slanderers or addicted to too much wine, but to teach what is good. So Paul calls Titus to teach. He also does this with Timothy. He says, you need to teach people how to live. You need to teach for transformation. The best teachers, they don't communicate just the content of God's word. They communicate their passion. They communicate the heart. They instill in their students a desire to know more. They teach their students how to be learners. And I hope that I am able to do that with you. I hope I'm doing that with our youth. Teaching us how to be learners, to have a desire to know more for themselves. I'm sure some of you or many of you can remember a powerful teacher in your life, maybe in high school, maybe in university. I know I had a few in college, in fact, and I think Pastor Tricia has shared this, where she had we both had a teacher in college who said, whatever I say to you, don't believe it. Don't believe it. Go and look for yourselves in God's word, right? Go and look for yourselves. That really challenged us. I know it did for her and it did for me as well. Go and look for yourselves. That was a teacher who taught us how to learn. I had a music teacher in high school. Mrs. Thorpe was her name. And I started playing drums kind of by accident. I was playing saxophone in band, and I didn't like it, and I wasn't very good at it. And then I got braces, and it was like my perfect out because I said, oh, I can't play this with braces. I need to play the drums. I've always wanted to play the drums, and I did. It was great. And I went through the rest of my high school days playing in band and jazz band. I was never very good, completely honest. It was in college where I started to take lessons. But my teacher always just was so encouraging. She challenged me when I made mistakes, but instilled in me a love for music that still remains, right? Encouraged and opened up that passion for music so that when I left high school, I would continue to pursue music. And that's what we want to do as teachers, that if at any point any of our youth or young adults leave my ministry, and they will, they'll grow up, they'll move on, they'll move out, I want to instill in them a hunger to know God and God's word for themselves. And so that's the calling of a teacher. We want to live it, we want to share it, and we want to teach for transformation. And so what I'd like to do, just in conclusion here, is teach you a little bit, if you don't mind, on this Ephesians passage. We're looking at Ephesians 4, 11 to 16. Now, did you know that Ephesians 4, 11 to 16 is actually one long Greek sentence? New Testament was written in Greek, in a dead language now, but in what they called Koine Greek, but it was one long sentence. So, of course, our English Bibles break it up, and that's good. We need that. But it's actually one long sentence, and it's building towards a goal. So the verse 11 is actually kind of the first stepping stone towards the end of the sentence where they talk about being built into maturity. So let's just look at that together. I'll read it from there because I think mine is different. So Christ himself gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the pastors, and teachers to equip his people for works of service so that the body of Christ may be built up until we all reach unity in the faith and in the knowledge of the Son of God and becoming mature, keep that word in mind, becoming mature, attaining to the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. Then we will no longer be infants tossed back and forth by the waves and blown here and there by every wind of teaching and by the cunning and craftiness of people in their deceitful scheming. Instead, speaking the truth in love, we will grow to become in every respect the mature body of him who is the head, that is Christ. From him the whole body, joined and held together by every supporting ligament, grows and builds itself up in love as each part does its work. So you see a word that comes up twice there, and that's significant. And I think that's the goal of these gifts, is this word that we translate maturity. The Greek word there, I'm going to share a little Greek with you, is teleos. And it actually refers to, sometimes it's even translated as perfect. But we're not talking about spiritual perfection like we don't sin. What we're talking about is completeness. And so God's will, God's heart for the church is to become complete, lacking nothing. Full. There's another word that's used there, fullness, a couple of times. So we are to grow into the fullness of the stature of Christ and to be complete, to not lack anything. Now, this idea of completeness comes up all the time in the New Testament. Another example is in the book of James, 1 verse 4. I don't think I put that up there, but I'll just share it with you really quick. Where James talks about going through trials, and he says, perseverance must finish its work so that you may be mature and complete, not lacking anything. Again, those words, mature and complete. And in fact, the idea of being full, the idea of fullness, has already come up in the book of Ephesians in chapter 3, verse 19. Paul prays a famous prayer for the Ephesians, and he says, I want you to know this love that surpasses knowledge, Christ's love, that you may be filled to the measure of all the fullness of God. Now, this measure of fullness contains a lot of different ideas, but one of them is maturity, completeness, teleos, that we are working in our own lives as well as a body, as well as a community, towards a goal of completeness. And I would suggest that we are actually here on earth in training to be citizens of heaven, that we are actually learning what it means to be a citizen of heaven here now on earth. So we are always working towards the goal of completeness, the goal of maturity. And I think teaching has an important role in building that up, as you saw in verse 14 there, that without teaching, as well as the other gifts, but I think teaching is especially applicable here, we're like infants. We're just tossed around by every new idea, every new book. I mean, the internet is great for this. Every new website that comes up with a teacher or a prophet or that type of thing, we can be tossed around so easily. So we need to be learning, and we need teachers to train us in what God's word actually says so that we can test God's word against these new ideas that come up so that we can become mature. I want to call the band up, and I'm just going to conclude with this, and I'm going to invite you to respond as well. Maturity is built by the exercise of the gifts. That's what I believe, that as we exercise our giftings, whatever they may be, and we're going to go quite a bit longer in studying these gifts because there's lots of different options, lots of different gifts. And I truly believe that the gifts lists in the Bible are not meant to be exclusive or exhaustive. And so they're just kind of representative. And so there's lots of spiritual gifts out there. And I believe that the goal and the purpose of those gifts is to build maturity. We are working towards completeness as a body and as individuals in Christ. So if we hold back our gifts, we lose an opportunity to become more complete. If I was to hold back the gift God has given me, I lose out on an opportunity for me to become more complete. And let me tell you that when I share with you, when I share with the youth, I do get challenged. I do grow just by my own study. And I would lose that opportunity if I held back on the gift that God has called me to use. And I want to challenge you with that same idea that when you, whatever your giftings may be, there's no sidelines in the church. There's nobody who gets to sit on the bench, right? Sometimes we need a place of healing. Sometimes we need to step back. I understand that. But God's heart for us is that nobody's on the sidelines. And so whatever your gift may be, God has given that to you to build you up. But I also want to challenge you that when you hold back on your gift, you hold back on an opportunity to build the church. We all lose if you're not operating or learning to operate in your gift. We need you. The church needs your gifts. So why don't we stand up today? We're going to take some time to pray. If I can invite the prayer team forward. I believe that each one here has a unique contribution to make to this body, to the kingdom of God. That's what these gifts are all about. And some of you are further along in discovering that than others, but that's why we're sharing these messages, because we want you to find, to discover, and to understand the unique contribution that you can make to the body of Christ. And by making that contribution, you actually make a deep contribution to your own growth, to your own maturity. So I'm just going to pray, and what I want to do now is just invite you up. Two main ideas. First of all, if you feel that maybe you have this teaching gift, we want to pray with you, and we want to pray for opportunities for you to step into that. And I want to share something exciting, actually. We just came up with this idea, or talked about this idea in staff meeting this week. On the 28th of February, we are going to have what we're calling a giftings lunch, right? So we're going to have a giftings lunch. So we actually want to invite any of you who have responded over these last few weeks to come have some lunch, and we will give you opportunities to see where you can plug into ministry here at RPC. Because we really believe that a healthy church is not about just, oh, we have a hole here, let's fill it with a warm body. Okay, that's not a healthy church, that's a dying church. We believe that we can find a place for you to unleash your gift, and that we all win when that happens. So I want to let you know about that opportunity. So just know that when you respond today, it's not just a prayer time. It's not just throwing an idea out there. There's going to be some practical steps. And that's true for all the gifts that we've talked about. There's going to be some practical steps for you to respond and find opportunities. So if you want to pray about that, if you want to pray about anything else that you're going through, you of course want to pray with you. And if you responded to Pastor Stephen's call as well, for salvation, to receive Jesus, we would love to pray with you. So prayer team, why don't you come up? I'll pray, and then we will just open up. So come on up, prayer team. Yep, come on up. We're just doing this in silence. There you go. Let's pray. Lord, I thank you for the unique gifts that you've given to each one of us, Lord God. Lord, and you've given them according to your will and according to your portion, and we don't always understand why we have one and someone else has another. Yeah. But I pray that we would look to you and look to our own unique contribution that you're calling us to give. So I pray, Lord, for the teachers in this room, Lord God. I pray, Lord, for just a tug on the heart to begin to respond. Even if all that means is to beginning to develop their own passion for your word, Lord. I pray for those that are ready to maybe share and to teach that you would just open those doors, Lord God. That they would have the courage to respond, Lord. And I pray for each one here, for each gifted individual, Lord, and that's every single one here, that you would unleash those gifts, Lord God, that you would open them up. Lord, we want to see just a healthy, growing body here. And with you as the head, Lord, but I thank you for each one that they have a unique contribution. So, Lord, we just want to respond now in prayer, and we just pray that you would speak to us, Lord. And we thank you for your goodness. We thank you for your word. In Jesus' name, amen.